Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 28th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with William Pryor and Srinivasa Subramaniam about how the Huntington protein stimulates signaling that contributes to the symptoms of Huntington's disease in mice. Huntington is a ubiquitously expressed protein that has a polyglutamine tract near its N-terminus. This polyglutamine tract can consist of up to 35 glutamine residues and still support normal cell biology. But in Huntington's disease patients, this region contains more than 36 glutamine residues. And simply increasing the number of glutamines in this region in mice causes motor defects and other pathologies typical of Huntington's disease. Although it's clear that expansion of the polyglutamine tract of Huntington contributes to Huntington's disease, the cellular functions of the normal form of this protein are not very clear, and it's not known how the forms of the protein that have expanded glutamine tracts cause disease. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, William Pryor and Srinivasa Subramaniam report that Huntington activates signaling through mTORC1 and that the polyglutamine tract plays an important role in this. Pryor and Subramaniam spoke to me from the Scripps Research Institute in Jupiter, Florida. Dr. Pryor, Dr. Subramaniam, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hello.
Hi, thank you.
Huntington's disease is characterized by motor problems, cognitive impairment, and behavioral changes. What types of cells are affected in Huntington's disease, and what goes wrong with those cells? Srini?
In Huntington's disease, striatum, the brain region which controls motor and cognitive functions, are the one which predominantly damaged. The neurons called medium spiny neurons in striatum degenerate. Studies clearly show a shrinkage of striatum in human patients. The regions such as cortex also can be damaged, which is kind of correlated with the psychiatric dysfunctions in Huntington disease. When the disease progresses, the other regions of the brain such as thalamus and hippocampus also affected in Huntington's disease.
So what goes wrong with the neurons? Do they die or do they just malfunction?
The medium spiny neurons, they die over the time. For example, there's a 90% medium spiny neuron loss at the end stage of disease. So these neurons, they just die away.
Expansion of the polyglutamine tract in the Huntington protein is associated with Huntington's disease in humans, and it causes symptoms of Huntington's disease in mice. Do all Huntington's disease patients have expansion of that polyglutamine tract, or only some of the patients? William?
Well, yes, patients with Huntington's disease have an expanded polyglutamine tract in Huntington protein. Greater than 36 repeats of glutamines in Huntington protein leads to HD. Between 36 and 40 repeats has late disease onset, compared with the juvenile HD, where there are more than 80 polyglutamines within the Huntington protein. So poly-Q repeats with a greater number of repeats lead to earlier age of onset and increased disease severity.
So expansion of the polyglutamine tract really is causative for the disease. It's not just associated with most of the cases.
That's correct. And unlike Alzheimer's disease, in this case, it is a genetic disease where polyglutamine repeats in Huntington protein result in Huntington's disease.
Prior to this study, what was known about the normal role of Huntington and how the polyglutamine expanded version of Huntington changes cell biology?
Previous work have shown that normal Huntington has a role in vesicular functions. It also has a role in protein transport, mRNA transport, and gene transcription. Most importantly, Huntington is an essential gene which is required for development. Huntington-deleted mice cannot survive beyond embryonic stage. As a protein, Huntington is very large, present in multiple locations, seems to have a variety of unknown functions. When there is an expansion of glutamine in Huntington, which results in a conformational change, that causes the protein to have a gain of function, which results in abnormal functions, whatever is already known for Huntington. For example, abnormal gene regulation, abnormal vesicular transportation, etc.
Bill, in this study, you found that Huntington stimulates signaling through mTORC1, the mechanistic target of rapamycin complex 1. How does Huntington stimulate mTORC1 signaling?
Amino acids such as the essential amino acid leucine are potent activators of mTORC1 signaling. It also requires another protein called RebGTPase, which is absolutely required for mTORC1 activation. What we found in human cells and in striatal cells is that in the presence of amino acids, such as leucine, Huntington associates with RebGTPase and forms a complex with mTOR, and then accumulates at paranuclear locations. Our data indicate that Huntington also facilitates the movement of mTOR towards these paranuclear locations, but the detailed mechanisms of how this transport occurs are not clear.
How does Huntington stimulation of mTORC1 signaling affect cell biology?
Huntington and mTOR share several overlapping functions. For instance, embryos of mTOR knockout mice or Huntington knockout mice won't survive beyond embryonic stage. That's because both Huntington and mTOR play a very important role in cell proliferation and cell survival. Similarly, Huntington and mTOR may have a overlapping brain function. For example, Huntington promotes anxiety and depression-like behaviors in mice, whereas mTOR inhibition blocks these behaviors. So there is a clear overlap of Huntington and mTOR functions, but the mechanisms are not clear. So we think that Huntington, through upregulation of mTOR signaling, may control these cellular functions and behaviors.
How does the polyglutamine tract of Huntington participate in or contribute to the mTORC1 signaling?
Well, having polyglutamine mutant Huntington appears to be a gain of function for mTORC1 signaling. Whether due to conformational change or something else that's unknown, the polyglutamine expanded Huntington can do three things to increase mTORC1 signaling. It enhances the intracellular movement of mTOR. It holds mTOR onto paranuclear locations, and it also sustains Reb and mTOR interactions. And like I stated previously, Reb is essential for mTORC1 signaling. We think that poly-Q expanded Huntington holds mTOR tightly on the paranuclear regions, and when stimulated with amino acids, as we see in our striatal cells, mTOR is dispersed throughout the cell in starvation conditions. When stimulated with amino acids, mutant Huntington appears to facilitate the movement of mTOR to regions where it can be activated.
Expansion of the polyglutamine tracts potentiates Huntington activity in terms of stimulating stronger mTORC1 signaling?
Yeah, and under these circumstances, especially with amino acid stimulation, we see that mTOR has a gain of function, meaning that there's increased movement of mTOR to paranuclear locations when you stimulate with amino acids in the presence of mutant Huntington, which is a surprise to us.
How does this increased activity of the polyglutamine expanded Huntington and the increase in mTORC signaling correlate with phenotypes in mice?
How mTORC1 signaling correlates with disease symptoms such as abnormal motor function in mice is not very clear at this point. In Huntington's disease, sustained mTORC1 activity in selected regions of the brain, such as striatum, might lead to movement disorders by altering normal physiology in that region. So using genetic tools, we are able to further increase mTORC1 signaling in the striatum of HD mice, which led to early onset of disease, severe HD-like motor behavior, and early death. But whether it is due to altered striatal signaling of mTORC1 or due to striatal neuronal loss due to mTORC1 signaling remains to be determined.
So how would that jive with the effects of polyglutamine-expanded Huntington on cell biology? How would that upregulation of mTOR signaling contribute to the death of the neurons?
As the saying goes, too much of anything is bad. mTOR needs to be controlled at physiological level all the time. Whereas polyglutamine Huntington somehow sustains that mTOR activity, which may have a variety of dysregulation. We know mTOR regulates protein degradation, protein synthesis. So all this may go haywire in disease conditions. So that may end up in degeneration of neurons over the time and dysfunction and ultimately Huntington disease. So we think that when there is a sustained mTORC activity, which is not good for the cells, that leads to probably initially striatal neuron dysfunction, then followed by a striatal neuron degeneration.
Given that Huntington is widely expressed in a lot of different cell types, why does Huntington's disease preferentially affect neurons?
This is a question that is always the mystery in Huntington disease. We have evidences to show that there are striatal-specific proteins, such as Res-GDPase, which is also an activator of mTORC1, can interact specifically to polyglutamine Huntington in striatum, and then increase its soluble form, and then may alter mTORC signaling in striatum. So the striatal specificity may come from interaction of polyglutamine Huntington with tissue-specific regulators, but the details are not very clear. The exact reason for striatal selectivity still needs to be worked out.
Bill and Srini, thanks for speaking with me today.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
That was William Pryor and Srinivasa Subramaniam discussing a paper published in the October 28th issue of Science Signaling by Pryor and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.